Hello and welcome to AMSSM Sports Medcast. As we approach the 2024 AMSSM annual meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, we will continue our mini journal club series highlighting each of the top articles in sports and exercise medicine from 2022 as selected from last spring's annual meeting. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Schroeder from Madigan Army Medical Center, and I'm joined today by Dr. Angela Ruffo, who is an assistant professor at UMass Chan Medical School, Department of Family Medicine, and faculty of the Primary Care Sports and Exercise Medicine Fellowship. She is a team physician at Clark University, Worcester Public High Schools, Nashuba High School, and Northbridge High School. She enjoys traveling, working out, and spending time with family and friends. She serves as a member of the Top Articles Subcommittee, part of the AMSSM Education Committee. We're so glad to have you back joining us for another episode of our Top Articles today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So we're going to cover two more articles from your section, the 11 through 6 of the Top Articles. Last episode, we covered some over on mental health and physical activity. This time, we're going to cover a couple of different articles, more of the exercise medicine, pre-participation exam, and athletic participation. The number 10 article is a systematic review and meta-analysis by Susan Reed et al. In BJSM from 2022, entitled "Do Physical Interventions Improve Outcomes Following Concussion?" And we're going to pair that with one looking at cardiovascular nature, also from British Journal of Sports Medicine. This is article number 7. Do pathologic cardiac murmurs in adolescents identify structural heart disease? This is an evaluation of 15,141 active adolescents for conditions that put them at risk of sudden cardiac death. This is by Ashley Austin and her colleagues. Angela, to start off with, let's start looking at article number 10 with concussions and physical interventions. Can you tell us a little bit about this study?
Yeah, so it's a systematic and meta-analysis. Basically, the randomized controlled trials of participants with concussions were evaluated the effect of subthreshold aerobic exercise, cervical, vestibular, and or ocular motor therapies on days to recovery, return to activity, symptom scores, balance, gait, and or exercise.
And what is subthreshold exercise?
So it's about 80 to 90% of your heart rate.
All right. So now we have another systematic review and meta-analysis. So what goes into this systematic review? What was included?
So there was about 12 trials. 7 were subthreshold aerobic exercise. 1 touched upon vestibular therapy. 1 cervical therapy. And 3 were individually tailored multimodal interventions. Of those 12 trials, 4 had acute concussion symptoms, where 8 of the 12 had concussion symptoms more than 2 weeks. And there was about 647 participants.
All right. So taking a look at those 647 participants amongst the 12 different trials, what did you find, Angela?
Yeah. So basically, exercise was favored, especially in an acute concussion. Subthreshold aerobic exercise showed moderate effects in lowering symptom scores.
This seems to be a departure from what we've learned in the past through medical school residency and some of us even fellowship, where we did a shut somebody down after concussions. You know, not only have they started to move away from, oh, you maybe not need to be in a dark place forever, but actually injecting the idea that doing some early exercise can actually improve symptom scores. So what is your big takeaway here?
So my big takeaway is an individual tailored multimodal intervention provides the fastest return to sport and decreasing persistent symptoms. Getting them on a bike, going to physical therapy, working on their vestibular ocular rehab, getting them moving as soon as possible is the best thing.
Awesome. So long as they are in touch with their own symptoms and we get to that sub threshold, meaning before we get an exacerbation of their concussion symptoms. And I think it's important that we make sure that we vocalize that to our athletes who are recovering from this concussion, to be very upfront and honest, and that if they do so, we can partner with them and potentially get them back to sport sooner and safer. So now shifting gears a little bit to article number 7, and this is looking at pathologic cardiac murmurs amongst our adolescents. Do they identify structural heart disease versus other things? So what did Austin and colleagues look at with this retrospective analysis?
Yeah, so they were basically looking at adolescents between the ages of 12 and 19 who underwent a heart screen with a history, a physical exam, and an EKG. And from there, they started to define what was a physiologic murmur versus a pathologic murmur. And those with murmurs were compared to a group without murmurs that underwent echoes for other screening abnormalities.
In this study, they have a really nice flow chart in figure 1. Can you talk us through a little bit of that and how they did this screening?
Yeah, so they had about 15,141 participants. And from there, there was about 5,238 echoes performed. From those groups, there was a control group with no murmur that had an echo, and that was 4,331. From those 4,331, there was about 4,271 that had no structural heart disease versus 61 that were found to have a structural heart disease. But remember, they had no murmur and they ended up having an echo. Whereas the other group, those with murmurs, 743 were physiologic, 162 were pathologic. From those pathologic murmurs, only 7 had structural heart disease and 1 had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Whereas the physiologic murmurs, about 18 had structural heart disease. And then of those 18, 2 had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
So interesting that looking at those murmurs, I know we were trained a lot about knowing the difference between what a quote unquote physiologic murmur is versus a potentially pathologic murmur through our auscultation. But this is suggesting that just because we define something as physiologic, there is concerns that there's still a decent amount of structural heart disease and potential hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Looking at that, that's a little bit, you know, concerning for me. And we spend a lot of time with our physical exam, particularly looking at a dynamic heart exam, doing the squat, standing, Valsalva, et cetera, to see if we can exacerbate a type of murmur. But are we potentially guided by this study to look at other things besides physiologic, pathologic, or no murmur at all in detecting heart disease?
Correct. It's basically suggesting to have an echo performed for these athletes with murmurs.
So that these classifications does not necessarily differentiate for conditions at risk for sudden cardiac death, such as hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
Right.
Any other take-home points that you want to share?
There's a limitation to this. It comes down to finances with a lot of schools when you're doing these pre-participation. An echo may be covered by insurance, but it's not always like, this is not a cheap workup for your average school.
Absolutely. I think echoes are still pricey. I know ECGs are becoming a little bit more commonplace at a lot of places. And it seems like ECGs provide a good intermediate test to evaluate murmurs for the presence of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and is recommended in all murmurs. But echoes maybe only for pathologic murmurs. But if we do that, are we at risk of missing patients that have just a physiologic murmur? I don't know. I think there's a lot more to break down here, but I think it's a fascinating thing that challenges our comfort levels with our auscultation skills alone. Do you find, Angela, that this influences any of your practice patterns?
I feel at this point, if I do hear a normal physiologic murmur, I may think twice and actually go ahead and get the echo.
Absolutely. So that's definitely concern for me as well. So Angela, thank you again for joining us once more to talk two more articles. This one, again, looking at the implementation of subthreshold exercise in acute concussions and potential benefits there, along with the look and challenge for murmurs or no murmurs in the workup of structural heart disease. I appreciate your time, Angela, and I look forward to the next time we get to chat.
Thank you.
I would like to thank Dr. Angela Rufo from the AMSSM's Top Articles Committee. Links to this article can be found in our podcast show notes. I'd also like to thank you, the listener. I hope you have found this time valuable, and if so, please share this podcast with colleagues and help promote the visibility of this product by liking, subscribing, and leaving a quality 5-star review on your preferred listening platform. We hope you'll join us for the 2024 AMSSM annual meeting in Baltimore, Maryland, held in person, but also a virtual attendance option. And join us again soon for the next edition of the AMSM Sports Medcast. The views expressed are theirs alone and do not represent the official policy or position of UMass Chan Medical School, the Department of Defense, Defense Health Agency, or U.S. government.